Isn't it amazing that 20 years into the so-called war on terrorism, we still can't get the T word right? Hi, this is Phil Gursky, president and CEO of Borealis Threat and Risk Consulting in Russell, Ontario, Canada. You're listening to Quick Hits, podcasts about national security and terrorism. Just got back from holidays and was trying to catch up with the news in a variety of sources. And I came across a couple of articles over the past 48 hours, some in paper copies. Yes, I still read paper copies of newspapers, as well as online sources. And a couple of uses of vocabulary struck me as quite odd. Let me share them with you for the next couple of minutes. It's an article from the Globe and Mail, so-called Canada's national newspaper, dated the 18th of May, so last Thursday, under the title, Rohingya in India Fear Persecution. For those who aren't up on this, Rohingya are a Muslim minority in Myanmar, also known as Burma, who've had to flee their country because of persecution, mass rapes, killings, villages being burned, etc. And a lot of them have gone to Bangladesh, a place called Cox's Bazar, hundreds of thousands. And a few have moved on to India as so-called illegal immigrants. Like immigrants around the world, they're having a hard time. And to make it worse, there are people in India, what the Globe calls right-wing agitators, and I would call them Hindu extremists, Hindu nationalists, regularly refer to the Rohingya as terrorists. Here's a minority that is fleeing persecution in its country, and they're called terrorists. Let's get back to that in a second. The second article comes from the Sunday Toronto Star, reproducing a story from the New York Times from the weekend of May 20th, 21st. And this is a story you may have heard about a religious cult in Kenya, whereby there is this wanker reader called Paul Ntenge Mackenzie, who has had this group since 2021, I believe. And he's a so-called televangelist who says the world's about to end. Well, get in line, buddy, because people have been saying that for decades. And as a consequence, he has built an evangelical Christian sanctuary to protect people from the apocalypse. But what he did, actually, is he starved his people to death. He said that this would prepare them to meet Jesus. Okay. And as of now, 179 bodies have been exhumed, and authorities fear there's hundreds more to be found. This is not the first time we've had a leader exert his influence over his followers, and they've been killed. Think of the Jim Jones in Guyana. What was it? Back in the 70s, I think. Thousands died there, I believe, or several hundred. Here's the interesting part. The Kenyan government arrested him in April. He was let go. Then he was quickly rearrested, probably once they figured out what he had actually done. And he has been under investigation on accusations of, quote, murder, terrorism, and other crimes. Again, the use of the T word, terrorism. Interesting, isn't it? I'm not sure that I would call this guy a terrorist personally, but I'll get back to that in a second. Here's two other articles I've come across in the past 48 hours. One's from the Al Jazeera, the English version, talking about the International Criminal Court in The Hague. They're looking into a Malian guy who's a member of Al-Qaeda. And the headline says, Mali rebel was an enthusiastic war crimes perpetrator. Here's a guy, a member of Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, called a rebel. And last but not least, the last article I came across was from the Defense Post, which is a very good website that I highly recommend. Not just defense news, a lot of terrorism news as well. And under the headline, Rebels Kill 4 Children in Colombia's Amazon Basin. And who are these rebels? Well, they are a breakaway faction from the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC. The groups have been around, since the 1950s, I think. Why am I citing this right now? What it indicates to me is that we're still faced with a great deal of inconsistency when it comes to how to use the T word, i.e. terrorism. Let's go back to the Rohingya. Hindu extremists, Hindu nationalists in India call the Rohingya terrorists. In actual fact, there is a terrorist group amongst the Rohingya called the Arakan Revolutionary Salvation Army, ARSA. And they've been around for a while. I've talked about them in my book, The Lesser Jihads. But the hundreds of thousands of Rohingya who have fled for their lives not only aren't terrorists, but they're fleeing terrorism. I also talked about so-called Buddhist terrorism in Thailand and in Myanmar. There's an individual in Myanmar that's been often be called the Buddhist Bin Laden. That's not a good moniker to have. So to call the Rohingya migrants, refugees, terrorists, is quite silly, as far as I'm concerned. Getting over to Mr. McKenzie in Kenya, yes, we've had cult leaders in the past who've been responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands. They've been responsible for sexual abuse, incarcerating people, setting up camps where people can't escape. They can't do anything on their own without their leader's permission. But is he really a terrorist? Okay, yeah, we have religiously inspired terrorism like Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab and Islamic State and Boko Haram and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But can you call this guy a terrorist? Now, I don't know what Kenyan law has to say. I'm not a Kenyan law expert. Maybe there's a provision of the law whereby his crimes do constitute an act of terrorism. I'd be surprised about that, though. And then they call the FARC rebels and this guy in Mali an Al-Qaeda rebel doesn't make any sense to me. Al-Qaeda is a listed terrorist organization by many organizations. Certainly Canada lists it, United States, United Nations, the EU, the list goes on and on and on. Similarly, the FARC, even though it isn't quite the force it once was, there have been peace talks between the Colombian government and the terrorists in recent years. There's also been a group called the ELN, the Ejército de Liberación Nacional in Colombia, that's kind of taken over the terrorist function, although the FARC is still around. But the FARC is definitely a terrorist group. So why is it we can't get this right? Is it editorializing? Is it a need to be seen to be changing things? You know, I've often said, and I apologize for being repetitive, but we've had terrorism on the brain for the better part of 20 years since 9/11. That single, grotesque, heinous act of terrorism in September of 2001 has defined what terrorism means for most of us for more than two decades now. And it's led to some good things and some bad things. But I think what it's also done is it's made terrorism something which the average person has more, if not experience with, exposure to. And as a consequence, we talk a lot more about terrorism, and we write a lot more about terrorism, and we listen about terrorism, and we hear news about terrorism much more often. It's much more on the agenda than it was prior to 9/11. Not that terrorism was invented on that September morning in 2001, but it certainly, given the nature of the act, the sheer scale of it, it brought it to the fore in ways that previous terrorist attacks had never done before. Even the Hezbollah attack against the Marines in 83 in Lebanon, and countless other terrorist attacks in history. Maybe didn't kill as many as 9/11, but certainly were very, very large in scale. It's that particular action by Al-Qaeda which sort of made the news and is making news for more than 20 years now. And as a consequence, the term terrorism has become ubiquitous. And the linguist in me says that when something becomes ubiquitous, becomes used by many more people than it has been historically, you get variances in usage, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's how language evolves. That's how language changes. But I just wish we'd be a little more consistent when we use the word terrorism to use it accurately, in my mind, to describe Al-Qaeda and the FARC, etc., and not use it when we're describing people like Rohingya refugees or the victims of a nut job Christian evangelical who thinks Jesus is coming back to earth tomorrow and we have to starve ourselves in order to meet him. I don't know where that says that in the Bible, but maybe he's using a different Bible than I was used to growing up. I know that I'm not going to convince anybody with this. I just want to put the question out there that when you read articles about terrorism, look at the context, look at who's writing it, look at the agenda, look at the experience of the person writing the article. Is there a message you're trying to get across? Are they trying to influence opinion by using terrorism in one case and not terrorism in another case? Again, I'm under no illusions this podcast is going to resolve the issue. I think I use terrorism in a consistent way. I'm very careful. I'm driven by Canadian law when it comes to that because that's what I obey. That's what I worked under when I worked for CSIS, the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, in counterterrorism for 15 years. It's the definition I use in all my books. I do recognize that Other jurisdictions are different. As I said, Kenyan law might have a clause on terrorism that fits in this circumstance. I really have no idea. But just have an eye on this and you know, ask the question, why the T word is being used in certain circumstances. And I think you might be surprised. Anyhow, that's what I think. Curious what your views are on this. You can reach me on email, borealisrisk@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter, @BorealisSaves. I have accounts on Facebook and LinkedIn as well. If you like the content and want to get more, go to the website, borealisthreatenrisk.com, hit the subscribe button. All the content is free of charge. You're more than welcome to download it and share it. Love to hear your feedback. We'll talk again soon, I hope. Until then, take care.